Good morning and welcome to The Morning Voice. I am not Grant Kruger, as you can tell. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley. With me as a co-host this morning is my good friend Sixto Molina. Good morning, Sixto.
Good morning, Dr. Ackerley.
Thank you for being here. Hey, you've been to the first couple of eat and greets that we've had. We were at Caruso's. We were at Bamboo View. We just did one at Casa del Rio. And we got another one coming up here. We got one coming up on the 24th, which is at the Javelina. Have you been to the Javelina?
Yes, I have.
You went there with me for lunch a little while ago, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
when are we never not going to lunch together?
If the food is good, I'm going to be there.
Yeah, great. So if you haven't been to the Javelina, it's at the Doubletree Hotel at Reed Park across from one of your therapy places, Reed Park Randolph Golf Course, where you have therapy every once in a while, right?
Yeah, every Thursday and Sunday.
I love it. So if you're not doing anything on Thursday the 24th, 5:30 to 7, we're going to be at the Javelina, and our host will all be there, hopefully, and I'll be there. Sixto will be there, or maybe Matt Neely will be there. Sitting in for Matt today is Brandon. Good morning, Brandon. Thanks for being here today.
Good morning, Ted.
We've got Young's Donuts, and Rob brought Dunkin' Donuts as well. We got you fueled up today, so you're going to have plenty to eat.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Hey, before we get started, tomorrow on The Morning Voice, Tom Moulton will be broadcasting live from the Arizona Governor's Conference on Tourism from Phoenix. He'll be talking about tourism in Arizona. In the second hour, he has guests from a variety of different places. Should be a good show if you're not doing anything. Listen tomorrow between 7 and 9 for Tom Moulton from the Arizona Governor's Office Conference on Tourism, which should be fun. And on Friday, I'll be back in a couple of days with some great stories. We talk about success the first hour, then we go wonder, where we talk about the great things going on at the University of Arizona. My guests on Friday are some young men from a new accounting firm in Tucson called FinClair. We've got Desi from Forget Me Not Florist. We've got Paul and his daughter Lindsay from McDonald's. They're opening a new McDonald's. It's a McDonald's that's been there for a while, but they tore down the building and put up a new one across from Park Place Mall. And then we'll hear from Carson Fools, who will talk to us about the solar system and that visitor that's trekking across our night sky, that third only one detected in human existence that we know of, traveling from another where it's coming from. We don't know what's coming from, but it's traveling across the night sky. So we'll talk about that on Friday. Today we're going to talk about local television and how important that is to the growth and the vibrancy of our community. We've got two of our good friends here who are the general managers and vice presidents of two of the local TV stations. We have Treg White. Good morning, Treg.
Good morning.
Treg is the vice president and general manager of KGUN TV, the ABC affiliate, Channel 9 on your dial. And Rob Baino, who is the vice president and general manager of KOLD Channel 13. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
Thank you guys for being here today. I thought when Grant asked me to fill in for him today, he and his wife are off on a trek, and he said, would you fill in on Wednesday for me? I went back to having Rob here a couple of many months ago. And so we also invited Peter from Channel 4 to come. He's out of town, so he's not able to be with us. But I do think that a discussion about television, the state of television, you guys were talking earlier about the FCC maybe blowing up some rule books and so forth. So it's an interesting place to be a general manager of a major television station in a place like Tucson. So it's interesting to see what the dynamic is going to be going forward. And who knows? None of us has a crystal ball, so it's kind of crazy. You said that you were on Marshall Kagan twice.
Twice, yes,
yeah,
sir.
So Marshall Kagan, that was Bob Love, right?
Correct.
And what was Marshall Kagan, for those people that haven't lived here as long as you and I have, what was Marshall Kagan?
Well, Marshall Kagan had a kids show in the afternoon after school, and if you had a birthday, you could be on the show and you would sit in the stands. And of course, Marshall Kagan would interact with the kids, us.
Yeah.
So it was a good time.
Bob Love, he did that for almost two decades, I think. He was great. That was a good back in the days of black and white TV. I'll show you how old we are. That was back in the days of black and white TV. Well, television's been around for a long time. We have, it started in the 20s, basically. It started in the late 80s, 1800s, but and 27 was really the first transmission. I teach this stuff at the U of A sometimes, so I go through all of this. Radio took off and became the dominant electronic media at the time in the 20s and 30s, but television really took off and had its golden age in the 50s and 60s, and that's when Tucson got its first TV station. The first one was yours, Rob, right? 1953, right?
That's right.
You're still credited as being, you say that you're first, right?
The very first one in Tucson.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But you just in your marketing promotion can always say you're first. We're number one.
That's right.
We're the first ones. And then KVOA started in 1953 at the same time. So you were January 13th, 1953, and KVOA Channel 4 was September 15th of 53. And yours was, Channel 13 was owned by, of all people, Gene Autry, for the people that
That's
remember.
That's right, the singing cowboy.
The singing cowboy. I believe he owned a station in Phoenix, Cool TV in Phoenix, and the idea, the funny part about it was it's cool in Phoenix and it's cold in Tucson is what their silly little thing was at the time. So that was back in 53. The first call letters were KOPO. I remember a radio station, KOPO TV. My dad used to be part of that. And then Channel 4, this is an interesting thing that I didn't know, and I've lived in Tucson all of my life, that Tucson newspapers, the Arizona Star and the Tucson Citizen, started Channel 4 TV. I did not know that till I was looking this stuff up, so that's pretty amazing. And then Channel 9 started with Doc Ingram, who was a furniture store owner, and he started K-Gun as a nod to the Wild West. So that's when you started in 56, K-Gun, right?
Yeah, June of 56. And so next year will be the 70th anniversary of K-Gun 9 here in Tucson. And so we'll be celebrating in June.
We're going to have a big party in June, okay? And I'm going to come to it. So before we get started talking about TV, let's get started with just talking about how you got to Tucson and how you became a general manager of a major TV station. So, Treg, let's start with you. What's your story of how did you get to become the general manager of KGUN 9 ABC TV?
Well, it probably started as a child. I'm really just a farm boy from the middle of Nebraska, a little town called Lexington, Nebraska. And so I'd be driving around, cultivating corn, cutting hay in a green tractor. And we had an antenna on it, but it was a clothes hanger, like a little clothes hanger that created the antenna and then received the signal. And so my love for AM radio, first of all, this is like the best thing ever, being in a radio station.
I love it.
And so I listened to AM radio all my life as a kid. And I would sit there and listen to the news reports that would be happening. And all of a sudden, I'm like, you know what? That sounds like a lot of fun. Then they'd play a little music. I was like, I'd love to spin records. So fast forward, I'm 16 years old. I'm working in a small little box store in Lexington, Nebraska. And it was right next to KRVN 880 AM. They would blast out a CBS news signal all the way to California and Canada from the middle of Nebraska in those days. And so there was a receptionist that would come over to the store every month or so and buy supplies. And she would say, hey, I need a box of toilet paper. Can you deliver it? I'm like, I don't know, but sure. So I'd grab my two-wheel cart. I'd go across the parking lot. I would walk through the hallways of this radio station, and I would just sit there and stop and look inside the windows of the audio booths, just watching the individuals do their job that I listened to as a kid. And so that's where I started loving the idea of broadcast and journalism. Got into television by chance. I wasn't good enough for radio. So, I got into television, worked a lot as a reporter, pretty much every role in a newsroom as a reporter, executive producer, news director. And as a news director, that's where I kind of got the hunger of just management and really enjoyed it. So I was in Nebraska. I was in Wyoming. I started a TV station in 2008 in Fort Collins, Colorado. Mm-hmm. And so my life started changing at about that point from news director to more station management and general manager's roles. And so, from there, it was I was out in Wyoming and Colorado all the way up to early 2020. COVID hits, had a conversation in February in Washington, D.C. with somebody, and we just hit it off from the EW Scripps company. Mm-hmm. And so tried to get out here in late February. Then March, the world stopped, so we delayed. But we kept in touch through that entire process. So I was able to get out here in early May and just kind of take a look at the station, take a look at the community. And then, you know, ended up moving here in June of 2020. And it's been a great community. I think sometimes it gets overlooked and underrated. But it's a great community. And so for the last 5 years, this has been home. And proud to be here. Proud to be a Tucsonan.
That's great. That's Treg White. He's the Vice President and General Manager of KGUN TV. And Rob Baino, you are the Vice President and General Manager of Channel 13, KOLD. How did you get into the general manager job?
Well, for me, I started at Florida State University. When I got there, it was such a big campus. I said, what kind of majors do you have to choose from? They said, we have 500 majors here. And I said, okay, what involves the least amount of math? And they gave out music and drama, and then they were talking about the broadcasting school. And I said, all right, let's go check this out. So I walked in there, and to see the studio and all the lights and all the technology, I was like, all right, this seems like it would be fun. So I got a degree in TV production from there. I did an internship at Disney where I was able to go ahead and give presentations to the CEO of Walt Disney World. Then I graduated, and Ted Turner is the person who handed me my diploma on the stage. Then I wound up working at CNN as soon as I graduated. All of this was over on the production side. I'd done a news internship, volunteered from midnight until 8 a.m. Wasn't paid, right. Wasn't getting credit through the school. I just walked in and said, hey, can I just help you overnight? And there are no background checks then, so they said, sure, what have we got to lose? It happens to be a TV station that Gray owns now, wow. WCTV.
Ironic.
So, yeah. And so after that, I went from Atlanta. I went to work for a private production company in Kansas City, got my first paying job in television, making $13,000 a year as a marketing producer at St. Joe, Missouri, Market 199. And after just a few months, they made me the creative director. So I was a manager, and I liked it, and it was going well. And then I went to Huntsville, Alabama, then to Wichita, Kansas, then to Cleveland, Ohio. In Cleveland, I had my two sons, so I was fortunate enough to be able to stay there the whole time they were in high school. And as soon as my youngest went to college, that's when I had the opportunity to go ahead and be a GM. And they gave me a call and said, we'd love to have you in Tucson. I said, I'll be there on Monday.
That's fantastic. We'll talk more about your appointments, Channel 9 and Channel 13, when we come back. We'll take a break now, and we'll come back and talk about the state of television in the local market, but also nationally. You're listening to KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice, and this is The Morning Voice. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. Brendan, you're doing a good job. Thanks for filling in for Matt Neely. I know it's been a long week for you, but you're doing a great job, and got double duty because you're going to be doing the Win Tucson show following this.
So you That's right.
You've had a long week so far, and it's only Wednesday. So my co-host this morning is Sixto Molina. Good morning, Sixto.
Good morning, Dr. Eckerly.
We're having an interesting conversation about local TV in Tucson, and you and I go way back. I think we were both here when all the stations started, so it's pretty amazing, isn't
it? Yes. Yeah, we are historians.
Our guests this morning are our good friends, Rob Baino, the general manager, vice president and general manager of KOLD-TV, Channel 13, the CBS affiliate in Tucson, and Treg White, who's the general manager and vice president of KGUN-TV, Channel 9, the ABC affiliate in Tucson. So you guys got started a couple of years ago, both of you, and when we talk about the history of television in Tucson, I know Six and I have a perspective on it, but how did TV take its root in Tucson? So you know, we were just talking, Rob, at the break about how people are coming back into the station who have worked there before, and how what a community it is and how important that is. So let's start with you and just how did Tucson really kind of, how did TV help shape Tucson as well we know it today?
Well, almost all the TV stations, especially in this market, were started as kind of a fad by radio station owners. So right. These are radio stations that had been well established in Tucson. They knew the community, they knew the business partners. And so when television came out, they're like, let's give it a shot. We go ahead and hang all the same antennas off the tower that we already have. So that was how television got started. And it really was considered just kind of a fad. This will be a fun passing thing.
Kind of like AI, right?
Exactly, yeah. but what they found is because of the ability to have pictures and be able to really capture emotional moments, see people when they're emotionally happy, sad, times of destruction when a fire comes through, that emotion really captured everything. So that kind of storytelling was the thing that really propelled television to be to grow and become so important. And the same thing worked for advertising. So there were advertisers who learned, you didn't have as many wild and crazy used car salesmen doing those things until television came out. And now you could see how crazy some of the stuff was. Right. So that was one of the things that really helped television take off. And then its role in the community, all of us, Treg, Peter, and I, we know how important it is to make sure that we are working with Boys and Girls Clubs and all the different 501c3 organizations here that do so much good in the community. It's an important role that we all have, and it's actually part of our FCC, the reason that we get our license. We have to be able to demonstrate that we are using the license to benefit our community. Mm-hmm. So it's an important part of all the meetings that we have with our department heads on a weekly basis.
Right. And so, Treg, being part of the community is really important. I remember back, of course, we talked about Marshall Kagan and how that was important for the young people and having an in-studio live program with a guy that catered to, kind of like they had in Phoenix and other places, they had these people. And they would go to the rodeo parade and everybody would want to, Uncle Bob was Marshall Kagan was his first name, and it was really important. But I remember a show on your stations, Tony and Henry Villegas. Remember that? It was on Sundays and it was a 3-hour show from like 8 to 11, and it was Hispanic in nature, and they actually spoke Spanish about 3/4 of the time, and they had musicians come in and sing, and they had, and so culturally, Channel 9, as well as all of the stations, really have kind of focused on the cultural and the impact of what Tucson's culture is, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's really about just creating connection with the people and giving them what they want and what they need, meeting their needs and trends today on the platforms they're at, and they're, today, 4 or 5 different screens. They're working on 4 or 5 different screens. And so, you have to think about like today's world of meeting them where they're at and providing them what they need. As a news director, my philosophy was just what's in it for me? Not me as a general manager or news director, but what's in it for me as a viewer.
Right.
And so if we could hit that on the head every day as a news reporter, as a news team, that meant that we were providing that content and creating connection with the viewers that are our customers.
Right. There are some great moments in history that, in 69, man walking on the moon and lots of national stuff. But there are some local moments, too. I'll throw out one, which I think was amazing. I think I'm right in saying this, that Bobby Olson's funeral, she was the Coach Lute Olson's wife, passed away unexpectedly within time he was the head basketball coach, and Lute Olson at the time probably could have run for governor or president of the United States out of Arizona. He was so well liked, and he was such an icon in our community to have his wife pass away. It was covered, the funeral was covered by all 3 stations live on TV. And then, of course, we have the rodeo parade that's been covered by a couple of stations over the years. Is there one thing that stands out to you, one or two times that you can think of where the local stations have kind of shone a light on our community and stepped in? And of course, we're talking maybe a little bit about news, and we're going to have a whole segment on news. But is there anything that iconic that you in your history that you can think of that would kind of represent that?
And I think before my time and Rob's time, I think you would look at Congresswoman Giffords, the shooting, and how the community and the heroes just emerged from that moment. I think that would be in more recent history. I think you could look at the Bighorn fire almost 5 years ago now, how, again, the community came together.
And even the fire up on Mount Lemmon about 10 years earlier, where every station was up there for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and then I think the last one probably, how television really brought to life an event was Congressman Grijalva's funeral service. I think that was like the one of the last recent events where people were really interested Mm-hmm. And to be able to show that on television or streaming, I think that was a big event.
Right, right. Rob, anything comes to mind for you?
The fires are the ones that come to me because there's such a feeling of helplessness there. And so when you see those images, you're just praying for those firefighters being able to stay safe and the people there they're trying to help. It has an impact where you just lose all track of time, and it really draws you in.
I'll also say that going back to the national championship basketball team in 97, I think it was, when we won the national championship in basketball, the city was consumed by U of A basketball and that game when they won that championship. That was pretty wild. Do you have any recollections, Sixto, of any times?
Yes, I have one. When I was a kid, it was very shocking, and I think it was something that was shocking to the conscience of this community. And that's when a group of Boy Scouts went up to the Santa Rita Mountains.
Right.
And
Mount Baldy. Yeah.
Mount Baldy. It was a nice day, a nice November day, and when they got there, the weather changed. Half the group decided to go back, and the other half says, no, we're going to go up to Mount Baldy. Well, the group that went up to Mount Baldy, six Boy Scouts that died.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really shocking because nobody in this community had ever experienced something
that
traumatic.
And that was snow and cold that came and got them. Yeah,
yeah, it was one of those winter storms that comes out of nowhere and all of a sudden you're in a blizzard.
That was a huge story.
And Ralph Coltrane wrote a book called Death Clouds, and there's a YouTube video about Death Clouds.
Yeah.
And Ralph is still alive today.
Yeah.
Play golf with him every once in a while.
Chronicling our community's growth, it's through its trials and tribulations, but also its celebrations like national championships and those kind of things. Yep. Well, when we come back after the break, we'll talk a little bit more about the cool things that are going on in local TV. We'll talk about the current state of local television in Southern Arizona. Our guests are Rob Baino and Treg White, and this is The Morning Voice. I'm sitting in for Grant Kruger. I'm Dr. Red Ackerley with Sixto Molino, and you're listening to The Morning Voice. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice on this beautiful Wednesday. A little bit of rain overnight. I don't know, Sixto, did you get some rain out there at the Baye Mountain? Were you getting some rain?
We got a lot of rain. In fact, it was still raining when I left home this morning.
I live on the other side of the world by El Paso. Whenever we meet up, we have to kind of meet in the middle. And between 2 and 4 o'clock, boy, was there a lot of lightning and a lot of rain coming down. It was pretty amazing. Well, welcome back. My name is Dr. Ed Ackerley, and I help run the Morning Voice show along with my brother Bill Ackerley, who is here. And we have five hosts. On Monday, we have Lydia Aranda, who does Rainmakers, and ironically, since we're talking about rain. On Tuesday, our host is General Ted Maxwell, who does engagement. On Wednesdays, normally, you have Grant Kruger, who does Food for Thought. He's the proprietor of Union Public House and Proof Artisanal Pizza and Reforma Modern Mexican. He also owns the Maverick and helped us on our campaign. He was probably our chief strategy person on the campaign. And then on Thursdays, we have Tom Moulton, and he'll be broadcasting live from Phoenix tomorrow. And then on Fridays, we have me, and we talk about success and wonder. So we're our guests this morning are Rob Baino, who is the general manager and vice president of KOLD-TV, Channel 13, here in Tucson, and Treg White, who's the general manager of KGUN-TV, Channel 9, ABC affiliate in Tucson. And in spirit, our friend Peter O'Brien is with us in spirit here. He's a good friend of all of ours. And we're talking about the current state of local TV. And so let's talk about some of the stations that are here. First off, let's talk about Gray Television and Scripps. So, Treg, you're with EW Scripps. That's the company that owns your organization. Tell us just a little bit about what EW Scripps is all about.
Yeah, so the EW Scripps company started in Cincinnati, Ohio, 154 years ago. Started off in newspaper, and then it kind of evolved into radio and then television. And so, two things that listeners would probably recognize very well is HGTV and the Food Network. And so the EW Scripps company created those two channels and then sold those off in 2008, 2009. The state of television for us at KGUN9, I mean, we have 12 12 channels, 12 streaming channels. we are a duopoly, and that means that we just have two full-power television stations in this market. We have KGUN 9, which is the ABC, and then we have KWBA, which we call Arizona 58. It is an independent station now. We did part ways with the CW affiliate late last year, and so we're an independent station. But we also have Grit, which, like, I love Grit. I don't know if you guys ever watch Grit. It's on 58.4 on your antenna, but it's also on cable. Grit is all about Western TV shows and movies. In fact, we went through the program grid. There are 12 TV programs that air on Grit that were shot here in the Tucson area. All the old Western places.
Right.
Like, and when you look at, then you think about movies, like The Three Amigos,
right?
That too. I mean, such a great history here when it comes to old Westerns. And so I like Grit. I think it's one of the best stations to watch because it's just good old fashioned TV. Yeah. Another channel that's not on on our list right now is ION.
Right.
So ION is owned by the EW Scripps company as well. And we look at it kind of like a TNT or a TBS type station where there's a lot of dramas on it during the day. But on Friday night, it's the WNBA.
Right.
There's really no hotter product and sports product out there right now than women's professional basketball, especially with Caitlin Clark. It's huge. And so, you know, Scripps was one of the first broadcast companies to really invest in women's sports. And so now we've added the National Women's Sport or the National Women's Soccer League. Mm-hmm. So they play on ION, and that's available all the way throughout. You know, any television can get it as well. But it, you know, it's some of it's about scale. You know, I think it's trying to scale and provide more content, more entertainment to viewers. You know, you have these sub channels that are available. So why not try to use them the best way we can in providing more entertainment and content to the people that can access them? Because it's free. It's free TV.
Right. And Rob, you're with KOLD, but you also have an affiliation with KMSB TV and with Tegna, and then you also have your sub channel. So tell us a little bit about Gray Television and what you have going on there.
So Gray Television is one of the newer big companies across the country. They're in 114 markets from coast to coast: Florida, Maine, Alaska, Hawaii, and everything in between. They started becoming a really big player in sports when they acquired Raycom and Raycom Sports. Raycom Sports had all the rights to the ACC and all the colleges, universities there. And they've continued to get bigger and bigger. They're now, in addition to main affiliates like ABC, NBC, CBS, they are also creating sports networks, local sports networks, like Arizona Family Sports. It's a statewide network. It's the home of the Suns, the Mercury, and the home of the Arizona Cardinals. So they have been creating these sports channels that are unique to certain areas in the Southeast, in the Midwest, in the Rust Belt. They've got their own one up there. So that's been the bigger area of growth that Gray has experienced over the last 5 years.
And we've got some other stations in Tucson. We've got, of course, Peters with the NBC affiliate, KVOA-TV, and they do have their sub-channels as well. And then tell us about the relationship between Channel 13 and Channel 11. You provide the news product to them, correct?
Yeah, so that's it's called a shared services agreement. So TV stations are expensive, very expensive. The building, the team... a newsroom can cost millions of dollars a year. So one of the things that makes a shared services agreement something that is good for both sides, rather than Tegna needing to find a building to build out all the engineering infrastructure to hire the entire team, they could come into our building where we already have all of those things. They're essentially leasing 3 hours of news from us every single day, and we provide all the services for that. And so for us on our side, they pay a lease, and so it helps defray some of the costs that we have, and then they get something without it being the most expensive version of it. It also now puts us up at 11 hours of news every single day, so It is, that newsroom is always running. The cameras are always on. There is always something out there for the viewers. As Treg was saying earlier, we're available when the viewers want us and in all forms that they need us.
There's a couple of other stations in town here. Of course, the University of Arizona, the PBS affiliate is run by the University of Arizona. There's KTTU, which is part of the Channel 18, I guess it's called, yeah. And then, of course, we have a couple of Hispanic stations. We have Telemundo, which is, and Univision, which are both out of Tucson, but they're also out of Phoenix as well. They kind of have a bilateral relationship with both markets. Then we have a low-power KUDF TV, which is Estrella TV that used to be Azteca, which is also a Hispanic station. There's a couple of other little ones, but those are the major stations that are basically what you would consider to be broadcast traditional networks that are operating kind of on that level. But then we have all these sub channels. And so, Craig, you already talked about a couple of them, but a couple of your big ones, you talked about Grit, but you also have ION, Antenna TV, and Court TV. And those are big viewership things for guys like me who kind of want to have a little hearkening to the past on Antenna. That's a programming from the 50s all the way to the 90s. And so it's a lot of people like to watch that kind of program.
Yeah, I mean, even, Court TV, which is owned and operated by the W Scripps Company, you know, they were one of the first organizations, Court TV, to have cameras in a courtroom. And that was, I believe, like the Menendez trial.
Mm.
They had cameras in the courtroom at that time. And so, you know, when you look at the streaming devices like Netflix and the stories that they're doing, those dramas that they're doing, and they're using those old clips.
Those are Court TV.
It's amazing to see that because we didn't, you know, viewers, whether you're 1,500 miles away or you were in Los Angeles at that time, the whole world was captivated by that court case.
Right.
And it still kind of is as they continue to go to court to see if, you know, will they be released? Will they not? You know, and those old clips from the 80s, from the 90s and beyond, you know, that's kind of what makes television special.
I told you this would go fast. We're already at another break, so we'll take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about your sub-channels, Rob, on KOLD and what you're affiliated with. You're listening to The Morning Voice. I'm sitting in for Grant Kruger. I'm Ed Ackerley along with Sixto Molina. Our guests are Rob Baino and Treg White, two of the general managers of two of the local TV stations here. And we're on the radio, and this is KVOI 1030 AM, your local news and source place to be. But guess what? I'm not Grant Kruger. He's not here. And so I'm Dr. Ed Ackerley filling in on The Morning Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am guest hosting today for Grant Kruger along with Sixto Molina. We're in here talking with a couple of our friends, Rob Baino, a general manager of KOLD TV Channel 13, and Treg White, who's a general manager of KGUN TV Channel 9. And we were talking, Rob, about the different sub-channels that you have. And so at KOLD, obviously you have that relationship with Fox TV, and we talked about that. But you also have a number of other affiliations with other TV like MeTV. So go through the ones you have.
So one of the biggest ones that we have, 13.2, is MeTV. This is all of the favorite shows that you grew up with. Let me know if you've heard of any of these. The Honeymooners, The Twilight Zone, Leave It to Beaver, Matlock, The Waltons, MASH, The Andy Griffith Show, and because you were talking about cartoons earlier, Looney Tunes and Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, that's us, isn't it, Sixto?
That's it. My heroes.
Yeah. So that's MeTV. It's all the best television from the 30s all the way through the 90s.
Yeah, you'll find me many times watching Antenna TV or MeTV. Those are my go-to when I just want to sit down and really, you know, TV used to be, this is me talking. For me, TV used to be a passive entertainment thing where you'd sit down and you'd go flip through and you'd find a program and you'd sit there and let it come at you. Now TV is a lot more interactive and you can be involved and even, you know, predict what the outcome is going to be on some shows and so forth. I like MeTV and Antenna TV to be able to just kind of sit there and enjoy and relax.
And we get a lot of viewer feedback from people who watch MeTV, just saying thank you for having these shows, making them available. So that one is a great one for us.
Right.
AZ Family Sports, I was mentioning that earlier. It's the home of the Phoenix Suns, the WNBA, Phoenix Mercury, Phoenix Rising Football Club, soccer. And we've also got a whole bunch of Arizona high school games, statewide games that are on AZ Family Sports. Our another one that we have is Ion Plus. So you heard Treg say that they've got Ion. Well, his company, Scripps, also has another channel called Ion Plus, and we go ahead and lease that from the Scripps channel. So that one is a lot of dramas like MacGyver, Bull, and some Murdoch mysteries that are over there. Then we have Outlaw TV, real similar to one that Treg was just talking about. So that is home to Bonanza, Longmire, Maverick, a whole bunch of old Western type shows. And then we also have Charge. That one's owned by Sinclair Broadcasting Group, another competing TV station, but they provide this channel that we can go ahead and put on there. And so we've got six of those channels, and then because we have we operate all the stuff for Tegna, which is Fox and CW. Those are two primary channels, and each one of them have six sub channels. So we have 18 television stations that we're currently providing from the one building that we have in Marana.
Are you able to, Treg and Rob, are you both able to sell advertising on all of those platforms, or are you limited just to a couple of them, or?
Yeah, a couple of them. I mean, we have access to the ones that we own, like Ion and Grit. But we call them pass-throughs, where you just get the signal and you just pass it straight through.
Right.
However, like Antenna TV, we definitely are able to sell advertising on that. But all the others are basically just pass-throughs.
And how about you, Rob? You sell on MeTV because we buy on there. But
yep. So we sell on CBS, on MeTV, and on Arizona Family Sports. But Outlaw Charge and Ion Plus, those are the pass-throughs for us.
Right. And so that's just in the public interest, you're passing through. That's what your FCC license is to broadcast in the public interest. And so you're providing more programming in the public interest for people to enjoy and be part of that. So just to mention that Channel 4, NBC, does have a couple. They have Cozy TV, which is there similar to what maybe MeTV and Antenna TV is. And then they have a couple of others that are kind of like what you're talking about, Ion Mystery, Laugh TV, some of those kind of things. So an interesting dynamic. Sixto and I are old enough to remember when there were three TV stations in Tucson, and then they added a fourth, which was the PBS affiliate KUAT at the University of Arizona. So when we were little kids, it was 4, 9, and 13, and that was it.
That was it. And one of the best things that I remember about the stations is they would cease to broadcast around 1 a.m. And at the very end, you would see four jets flying by, and you would hear somebody's voice say, sleep well tonight, your Air National Guard is awake. Right. And that was the end of TV. Then the TV went blank.
Right, and then they'd come back about 6 o'clock in the morning, and as I was saying earlier, right when they signed on, there would be about 7 to 8 minutes worth of cartoons. That is a little guy. I used to watch those the little cartoons when they'd come on. And color bars. You'd see color bars. People even know what color bars are, but color bars are those rainbow colors that they put up. And it was back then, it was for the engineers to tweak the machines to make sure that the signal was going out in color when they went into color after black and white. It was amazing. I do want to mention one little thing we were talking about, and we're going to be talking about news here in a little bit. I was mentioning at a break that my sister, Charlotte Ackerley, was a reporter for KVOA TV back, oh goodness gracious, this has to be in the late 60s probably, and they would go out with a Polaroid camera and they would shoot a black and white picture, a black and white Polaroid of a fire or whatever the scene was, and they would actually, you know, pull it out of the camera and use that special sauce that was on those little rubbing sponge things and develop it, and then she would drive back in the Nash Rambler to KVOA, and they would put it up on a tripod, and they'd take a big giant camera in the studio, and they'd put a picture on this easel, and that would be the background for the news story. It would be a big giant camera showing a Polaroid picture of something that happened in Tucson, and that was one of the first renditions of live local late breaking was to have Polaroid pictures up on the thing. We've come a long way since then.
Although when I was in Huntsville, Alabama, there was a small ore that was up on the wall back where we used to do all the editing. And I asked a guy who'd been with that TV station for 40 years, I was like, what is that ore up there for? And he said, well, when we were shooting everything on film, they would come back here and film, and we would put it all in this really, really big vat, this pot for developing. Mm-hmm. And he would use this ore to go ahead mm-hmm. and move everything around to help speed up the processing. And then mm-hmm. he showed me where they would hang all of the film that they would then run out of these huge canisters.
Yeah.
Then that wasn't that long ago that that was happening.
Yeah, you know, there, I would say probably in the early 70s, maybe all three TV stations' news product would be shot on film, and they would run it over to Arnie's on Campbell Avenue. Campbell and between Grant and Glenn, there was a place called Arnie's Film Service, and if you'd get the film there to him by about 2 o'clock or so, he'd stick it in a big vat, and then the news team would come back and get it at 4 o'clock, and then they would splice it together, and that would run as a B-roll on the news. So for, you know, 5 or 10 years, you know, it was physical. It was all about getting the actual film and running it through the film chain. And, you know, what Brendan's doing over there in the control room over there and TV control rooms, they were literally producing on the fly because they were bringing all this stuff coming in. And it's a little different now, editing on a laptop and
That's
having
right.
it done. Do it now, you can actually do a report. I see some of the national reporters who was talking to Bill about this yesterday that I'll just use Caitlin Collins from CNN. She'll be walking along talking to the vice president or somebody, and she's got a little thing about the size of a key fob. And that's what she's using as a microphone. It's just this little square thing about an inch and a half by an inch and a half. And that's what she doesn't even have the big long stick microphones anymore. It's just this small little thing. And everything's been miniaturized and micro processors and so forth. It's really changed back from when you were in the studio. When's the last time one of the stations had a live program in the studio? We don't do that kind of stuff anymore either. It's even the news, even some of the national news aren't even using camera people anymore. They're using technology that is AI-driven and robotics, right?
That's right. My first TV job, this is when we were using 3/4 inch. Right. And so it was this huge camera. It was enormous. It probably weighed 40 pounds. And then you had this backpack kind of thing that it would hang off your side and had these really large cassettes that would go in there. And a big, thick umbilical cord that would go from your camera down to this now 15, 20 pound. So you were lugging a good 60 to 70 pounds of stuff wherever you were going.
Right. And running back and forth to the truck to get more batteries. Right,
right? Because those batteries didn't last long at all.
Right.
And so that was one of my first full-time jobs, was running those cameras. And to see where we are now, it's so much better.
Yeah, I can remember back, Bill and I can remember back to 2-inch videotape, which shows you we even have some of those tapes, I think, left in our storage. So, well, this is a great first hour talking about the state of local television. When we come back after the top of the hour break, we're going to talk a little bit more about what it's like being in local news in a major market like Tucson and how important that is. This is The Morning Voice. I'm Ed Ackerley, substituting for Grant Kruger, and we'll be back after the break. You're listening to The Morning Voice. Good morning and welcome to the second hour of The Morning Voice on this beautiful Wednesday. I am Ed Ackerley, substituting for Grant Kruger, who was out for a well-deserved time with his wife. And he is obviously the owner of Union Hospitality Group with his Union Public House at Sixto, and I spent a lot of time there. Reform Modern Mexican, Proof Artisanal Pizza, and the Maverick Country Club, one of our good sponsors, as well as Grant being a host of the Wednesday show. Speaking of food, we've got donuts galore this morning. We've got Sixto as a, you call it kryptonite for police officers, right?
You got that right. Yes, sir.
And we're doing our best to make our way through a couple dozen donuts here, so the building is very excited about Rob coming and bringing some donuts. Speaking of food, we've got an eat and greet coming up, right, Sixto?
Yes, we do. It's on July 24th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Javelina Restaurant at the Doubletree Hotel at Reed Park. And the address there is 445 South Albernon Way. It's an opportunity to meet members and of the Morning Voice radio talk show.
Great. So you've come to all of them so far, and we've had some fun there and had way too many laughs. So if you're not doing anything on Thursday the 24th, come to our eat and greet. So this morning's topic is local television, and we have a couple of vice presidents and general managers of a couple of stations here in Tucson. We have Rob Baino, who is the general manager of KOL-TV, Channel 13. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
You're a CBS affiliate, so you have all that good CBS programming and all the good things that CBS has done. Was that Columbia Broadcasting Systems? Is that what the C stood for?
Yes.
Yeah. Back in the day. Yeah. And then Treg White is the general manager of KGUN TV, Channel 9, the ABC affiliate. Good morning, Treg.
Good morning.
And ABC, I think, stands for American Broadcasting Company.
It does.
Right? Yeah. So, and you guys are in charge of the local TV stations here, Channel 13 and Channel 9, respectively, plus your relationships with other sub channels. And in KOLD's case, you're sourcing out your news. So let's talk a little bit about probably the most important inventory that you have at your disposal, which is the local news. And it's really important. So before we get into specifics, let's just ask the question of both of you. We'll start with you, Treg. Why is local news so important to a town like Tucson that we have a place to go to one of the three major stations and develop a relationship with those stations to hear about what's going on in our communities?
It's still about creating connection. It's about giving light and let the people find their own way. If we don't provide that content, how can we make informed decisions if we need to?
Right.
But it is, again, I say it over and over and over again a lot, it is about creating a connection and providing the content and the news that people want and they need to know.
Right, right. And it's divided into three major categories, which is local and national news, and then weather, which obviously at a time like the monsoon season, sometimes it leads the local news. The monsoon story will lead the local news. Then, of course, and you have people like Sixto and I who are addicted to U of A football and sports and Caitlin Clark and so forth, that sports is another important part. So those three main elements are part of local newscasts. And so, Rob, why is news so important to a town like Tucson to have three competing stations all putting up a major local newscast every single day, going up ahead? How come people haven't thrown up their hands and say, okay, we quit, we're just going to turn it all over to Peter at Channel 4 and we're going to go do something else? Why is news so important?
Because people want to be involved in their communities. They want to know that the people that they're electing are making smart choices that represent the things that they want. They want to know that their schools are doing a good job with their kids, that they live in a safe community. They want to be involved. Everybody that you talk to all across the Tucson area, all across southern Arizona, they love living here. They're proud to live here. And they want to make sure that everybody and everything around them is to the benefit of everyone else. They want to be able to brag about that kind of stuff. And you don't have that ability to know what's going on or understand if you're not in tune with the local news.
Right.
And so there's a need, whether you're getting it from broadcast or you're getting it on an app or you're streaming it, however you get it, there's a need there. And that's what Treg and I provide.
I think it's interesting for both of you and for me, I guess, in my position, and even Sixto and Bill, for sure, the business that we're in, this business of communication, but just the advertising, marketing, news product, the television stations and so forth. It's interesting how we touch so many different things in the world. If you were a manufacturer, you might be in a lane and you might be vertical and kind of have a lot of relationships up and down that lane. If you're in a bakery, you know, you might be making your stuff, and Young's Donuts, you know, they get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and they're out of there by 3 in the afternoon and they're kind of in this lane. Your jobs, you're very horizontal. You know a zillion people and you know a zillion things about Tucson, because that's the nature of being in local news. And yeah, every place you guys go, you probably know somebody.
Yeah, that's right. And it's because of all the advertisers that we're trying to help them grow their businesses. And there are so many different kinds of advertisers out there. It's because we're involved in the community. So our main anchors for us, Dan Maries, Brooke Wagner, Valerie Cavazos, and everybody on our weather team, they're constantly out there trying to share whatever those important moments are for those 501c3s that are out there. So we're constantly out in the community. Treger and I are here with you right now, because we're connected to every single business that's out there.
That's pretty interesting. That just by nature of being in a news station, how it's almost magnetic that people are drawn to Channel 9, drawn to your programming and your news source and so forth. They're kind of just brings them in. And so it's one of the things Hal Reiney, who was the great creative behind Hal Reiney and Partners, who he actually did some voiceover for you guys back many years ago with ABC, you know, and he was the voice. And he said that we may not, you know, 100 years, 300, 500 years ago when we see each other, maybe we could talk about a couple of things that we had in common, maybe the Bible or maybe the weather, but we wouldn't have a lot in common because we're all living our own lives. But in today's society, because we all watch the same news and had exposed to that, we can have a common conversation because we've heard about it. And that's what local news provides, right?
I think there's still just like this fascination of television. I mean, let's face it, like somehow we emit this signal out of a tower and it gets to another tower through air. And then it turns into a picture on your television screen or on your phone. And I think there's just, again, a fascination with television as a whole. And, you know, when we invite people into the station, you know, they want to meet the talent. They want to meet the reporters and the anchors. They want to see the studio set. And I think sometimes they're like, oh, it's kind of smoke and mirrors.
Right.
Particle board here and particle board there and monitors here. But I always get excited that they're excited about seeing it.
Right.
Because I sometimes, you know, I don't know if I've ever truly forgotten. I love this career. I love this profession. It's my hobby. Fortunately, I get paid to do my hobby. And plus, I can't do anything else anyway. So might as well just make this my hobby.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we think about like content and providing it here in Tucson, and there was the question of like, you have three stations and they're providing similar content. I think you still have a different perspective from each station and how right. they present that and who they're talking to.
Right.
And so if somebody wants to flip the channel and watch Rob's station and then they go to Peter or they go to my, like, hopefully they can look at that and say, that is a different perspective.
Right.
It closes the divide but widens the perspective.
Speaking of television stars, we've got Bunker on the line with us. Good morning, Bunker. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Ed. I have a question for your guest there. Yeah. This is kind of a pet peeve of mine, is on the sports, when you're doing the coverage, it's always the same big national things. But when it comes to sports like rodeo and the national finals or like the Tour de France now, cycling, and Tucson being very much a cycling city, or the winter sports, national sports, you know, the world sports, I understand that they're contracted out to the different stations, but you don't get any sport highlights like you used to do in the old days. And I'm a non-cable guy over the air, so I get very little information on what I really want to know about. I like your comments on that.
Yeah, Bunker, and this is Treg. I'll try to take a stab at it. I love NFR. I think it's one of the most exciting. I love bull riding. I also pay a lot of attention to the Tour de France. I mean, I'm on it like on my app almost every day, and I'm watching it on NBC Sports, on Peacock, and I think in the olden days there used to be the George Michael Sports Machine on right. Sunday night at 10:30,
right.
where you would get all of your rodeo, you would get all of your Tour de France. Mm-hmm. The changes have been, it's so available today. The national, the world sports are so available at your fingertips on your mobile devices that for the local TV station, let's not try to fill up a 2-minute sports segment with national and world sports when we should be talking about Tancredi High School, when we should be talking about CDO and showing highlights, or showing highlights of the Wildcats, no matter what sport it is. Like, those are the videos and the highlights and the conversations that you don't see on ESPN. And I think that's why we've kind of, at least for us,
right.
we've changed that of getting away from national and getting more on the local side.
I agree with that 100%, but I also noticed that when I'm watching it, I'm still seeing a lot of baseball, basketball, football in those sports segments that are not local. So maybe we could exchange some of that football time for some of the other time.
So noted. They're both shaking their heads up
Love
and down.
It.
So thank
Love
you,
it.
Bunker, for your call.
Yeah. Bye-bye, guys.
We appreciate it. Thank you, Bunker, for being a listener and for calling in. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll share a little love. Shout out to some of our anchors who are working at both of these news products, which are really well-known household names to those viewers that watch the evening news. This is The Morning Voice on KVOI. I'm Ed Ackerley, substituting for Grant Kruger, along with Sixto Molino. We'll be back in just a moment with some more discussion about news on local TV. Welcome back, and you tell me that you love me. Well, we know who we love at the stations. The general managers are nice guys, and we like them. But we love our news product, and we love the anchors. You know, many people develop a personal relationship with the news anchors. They're in their house every evening, and they see them out at the grocery store, and it's kind of like they're seeing a movie star, if not our friend Dan Maries, who gets that a lot. So let's shout out a little love, and we'll start with you, Rob, a KOLD, and tell us who your anchors are and who you got on your main team.
So Dan Maries is probably the best known, and if you've ever walked around a big public event with Dan Maries, you get a feeling of what
it's like walking around with Sixto Molina,
exactly.
Right? Everybody wants to see
right.
him. Yeah.
So 25 years Dan Maries has been on the air with KOLD, and he is genuinely just as nice in person as he is on TV. He is the mm-hmm. same guy, and that's what I think everybody finds kind of surprising. They think that it might be an act on TV, but when you get to meet Dan and all of the anchors, they're all really good, genuine, down-to-earth people. So we've got Dan, he does our 4, 6, and 10. Brooke Wagner is at his side at 4 and 6, and then Mary Coleman is at 10 o'clock. Valerie Cavazos does our 3 and 5. She's also our lead investigator. And in the morning, we've got Tyler Butler, Carson Currier, and Madison Smith. This is a newer team that we just put together in the last 6 months. It is fun to watch them all work because they approach all of their conversation when they're talking about here are all the stories that are happening. There might be 30 or 40 stories that people would be talking about in a 30-minute newscast. We only have time to get to 7 to 10 of those in a 30-minute show. So they have to figure out which ones to do and what the right angle is. That's where we're talking about our brands are a little bit different. So we might all be on the scene of the same kind of story, but we have a different approach on how we do it. But with everything we do, just like with the last caller who was asking about local versus national, the most important thing to us is local. That's part of our brand, live, local, late breaking. And so we make sure that we are talking about what is going to affect all the people in Tucson. Even if there's a national story, if there's something that's happening in D.C., what does this mean for people in Tucson very specifically? So we try to make sure that everything, we bring it back to what's important here for our community.
And let's not forget to shout out to, especially in the monsoon here, Aaron Christensen, who's your chief meteorologist, right?
The weather is the single most important thing. All of us do research. We communicate with viewers on a regular basis, and they all tell us the number one most important thing is weather because it's the one thing that affects all of us. Right. Every one of us is affected by it. So Aaron Christensen, Ali Potter, Corey Kowitz, and Dave Spar, that makes up our 13 First Alert weather team, and they are super dedicated. So when they knew that this week was going to be an interesting week, schedules get changed. Everybody's working extra hours. They've got some people that are broadcasting, some people that are streaming, some people that are working on the apps, trying to make sure that we're pushing out all the latest information.
That's Rob Baino. He's the Vice President and General Manager of KOLD. And this is Treg White. He's the Vice President and General Manager of KGUN TV. Let's give a shout out to who your anchors are on your major newscasts.
Yeah, so we start the morning off with Claire Graham and Dan Spindle. Those are two Tucsonan, Southern Arizona individuals. Dan grew up in Wilcox, came back after like 10, 15 years in the broadcast industry. Claire Graham grew up here and went to school here. So again, just two individuals that are, like Rob said, they're authentic, they're genuine, but they know Tucson. That's mm-hmm. so important to have that anchor touch of expertise that they know the community that they're working and living in. We go into our weather team. We have Kyler Diggs at night. We have April Madison in the mornings. Both of them have been here 20 plus years. Again, they understand, you know, weather's the lead story.
Right.
Until something else comes along.
Right.
And usually something else comes along, except for this week or just in monsoon.
Right.
Then it's the driver. In the evenings, We have Pat Paris, whose dad was Jack Paris.
Yeah.
He was a former general manager.
Great guy. He had your position. He had your seat. He was a great guy.
He actually is the general manager that brought Tucson Wheel of Fortune in Jeopardy.
Thank you. My wife thanks Jack profusely and thanks you for
we're just trying to hold that tradition going.
Wheel of Fortune. We keep hoping that SEA number will be called out sometime and we'll get that $9 million payout, but it hasn't happened in 35 years.
So. And then we have a new team member joining us and her name is Conchetta Callahan.
Oh.
And Conchetta starts on Monday on the air. She's been here now in Tucson actually multiple years. She comes to us from Sacramento and before that San Antonio, but her first job started at KOLD.
Well, great.
And so again, you know, it's an opportunity to have a team of anchors that understand this community. You know, it's so important. It's about living and working here. And, you know, in our industry, it's very transient. It's kind of almost like a revolving door every 2-3 years. But people get attached. They get used to those individuals. And so how can you find team members to join your team that want to plant or replant roots in their communities? And I think that's what we're finding just overall, at least at KGUN9, is that opportunity to bring people home, because you can always go home.
Right.
And finally, people are wanting to come home.
Yeah, and you also, your brand is part about Nine on Your Side, but it's also the brand of neighborhood, and you have reporters that are specific to specific areas of the city, and they kind of focus on those even more micro-local issues that might just affect one little small area of the city.
Correct. Yeah, so we kind of dropped our On Your Side slogan, and just ultimately, like, KGUN9 stands on its own.
Right.
Like, I can say KGUN9, and they know what it is. But the neighborhood news, it's not a brand, it's not a slogan, it's more of a content strategy of providing a differentiator in everything that we watch. Sometimes when we watch television, you can take logos off, you can take colors off, and it's kind of the same news. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the same story, maybe a little bit different here and there, but it's really just the same stuff. It's commodity.
Right.
And so how can we deliver content that is hyper-local, but even more so down to the neighborhood? And so we went through and divvied up the community and said, okay, this is east, west, north, south, whatever, and providing more content. I mean, in South Tucson and South Tucson, the southern part of Tucson, one of our reporters, her name is Raina, and there is a group of women in South Tucson that are the Rainas. They have embraced her. There has been more content that has come out of there out of South Tucson, and it's not negative news.
Right.
We're not hearing about a homicide or a crime being committed. We're hearing about real impact, about a gentleman cleaning up streets, because that's his giving back of his business, cleaning up streets. Like, those are the stories you just don't hear about overall, and that's why our neighborhood news strategy, I believe, has been impactful for all of our Southern Arizona viewers.
That's a good point, and that's kind of the focus of the Morning Voice. Both of you have touched on community and touched on people who live in the community and want to see the community. You know, you have to report on the fire and on the shooting and on the political stuff that affects everybody's life, and that's just part of news. But there's also that community side and community development on the other side, which is really important, and developing a trusted source of news with your anchors is a really important thing. Dan and Pat, of course, they've just been there for a long time, and they have this sense that you trust what they're saying. And you may not get that from some of the national news as much as we I don't want to criticize the national news, because we're all part of that, but it's different when it's local, because it's more like having a friend that's telling you what's going on in Tucson.
Yeah, the Arizona Media Association, 350 members, broadcasters, television, radio, newspaper. They do an annual survey, and that survey of Arizonans basically put local affiliates almost dead center. Everything else was to the left.
Right. We'll be back after the break with a last half hour of the Morning Voice with Rob and Treg. Thank you, Brendan, for chipping in and keeping me on track. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to the Morning Voice. It's good that we're not having to send a message in a bottle anymore. We're sending a news product out on TV, and then we'll talk in this segment a little bit about what the landscape for TV in the future is. With me this morning, boy, the first 90 minutes went fast. Didn't go fast, Sixto?
Yes, it did. Very fast.
Yeah. And I think part of the fun of being in a radio studio like this is when we go to break, we talk about all the little cool things that we know about former weathermen getting married and all sorts of different things. It's kind of neat to have that stuff. With us for the last half hour here, have been on for 90 minutes, are our good friends Rob Baino from KOLD. He's the vice president and general manager of the CBS affiliate, and Treg White, who is the vice president and general manager of KGUN TV, which is the ABC affiliate here in Tucson. Well, guys, we've been talking a lot about the history of the stations in Tucson and how the stations have this relationship, or the news product and the people that are delivering the news have this relationship with Tucsonans and so forth. And we were talking before we went on the air about the FCC having a meeting coming up and how things might change here rapidly for all of you. And there's just a disruption in the way we receive our news, we receive our information. And back when Six and I were little kids, there were three TV stations in Tucson, and now, you know, there's thousands of different options for people. So it's hard to stay relevant. So let's talk a little bit about what the future looks like and the viewer landscape looks like. And how are people interacting with your stations, but also what you think the future will look like? So let's talk first about your viewership. You've talked about how you attack a news product kind of from a different perspective. What's your viewer like at Channel 13, Rob?
So our actually, most of us in television broadcast, we have kind of the same viewers. Most of our TV viewers are going to be 40 plus, even 50 plus is probably a little bit more accurate. It's kind of an aging audience that are using exclusively broadcast television. Now, that's not to say that we're not reaching people that are in their 20s and 30s. We're just reaching them differently. So rather than traditional over-the-air broadcast, there are it's a lot of usage of the apps, a lot of usage of our websites, streaming technology. So we're just having to find new ways to go ahead and reach younger and younger folks.
And same with you, Treg. You have a 40-plus audience mostly, but you do reach down into those younger demos as well, depending on the programming,
yeah,
right?
I would say that we're pretty identical. I mean, when you look at things, it's like a third, a third, a third.
Right.
Like everything is just KOLD, KVOA, KGUN 9, divided up three ways.
Right. One of the things that I talk about when I'm teaching at the University of Arizona with my young whippersnappers that I teach down there, who many of them maybe haven't really watched ABC, NBC, CBS faithfully during their childhood and so forth, because they've gotten streaming and other things in their life that they want. I call it jukebox information, where they can choose what they want at the time and place that they want it, as opposed to appointment TV like we used to have on the broadcast stations. But I still say that how important television is, and here's how I depict that. I say that when the President of the United States wants to make a statement about something that's important, he or she goes to the Oval Office, and the three network stations are there, and it's broadcast simultaneously on all three national networks. And so our local affiliates share that same thing. He's not going on radio like President Roosevelt did, and not yet. We're not going on a splintered digital area where there's a zillion different options, and maybe someday they will, but the president is going on broadcast TV. Why? Because it's the most impactful, and it's the place where most people gather.
Yeah, it's the most scalable
right
way to do that. I mean, I think when you try to attract the younger viewer, you know, it's a different kind of content. It may not be the news story that we think everyone else is interested in. It may be just a different kind of story. It may be about the next game of Call of Duty or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. If a organization can provide their content, what they want, at some point in time in their life, something will happen and they'll want to know, oh, I need to turn on the news. Right. I need to go somewhere. So who do they remember? It might be KOLD. It might be KGUN 9 that they remember because they're giving them content in a different way. Right. And I think that's where we have to continue just to evolve as an industry, right, of providing content, what they want, not what we want to give them,
right,
but what they want when they want it.
And that's what, again, the magnet of local TV right now is local news. And so that's the magnet that brings them in when you say they want to know about what's the weather going to be like tomorrow or whatever. Yeah, you can go on your app and find it, but it's better to have it from a trusted source. And so this is a good magnet for those younger people.
Right. And a lot of the stuff that we are putting out on broadcast, it's being repurposed in a way for other people to be able to find it. So there might be some folks who wouldn't watch a broadcast, but Dan Marius has 91,000 followers on Facebook. And so he could take any of the stories that either he's done or that have been in his shows that have impact, put it on his Facebook. And that's how we're reaching an awful lot of people. I know that Erin Christensen does all of her forecasts after she gets done on the air. She immediately goes to the app and to all the streaming platforms and to the social media. And she puts all of it out there. And that's the experience that they have with Erin, maybe not in the 10 o'clock news, but it's through some app on their phone.
Even this show, you know, we're live right now and we're broadcasting live on an AM signal. We're also on YouTube and on Facebook. And so, but after we're through here, this will go up in an archival and it'll go out as a podcast to people from all over the world can access the content. And that's the same thing is true of your stations. If you just go on your websites, you can get yesterday's 10 o'clock news. You can look at a story. If you missed it, you can get it. And so, like you say, we're using new technology or the modern technology in a way to deliver the product. It's not necessarily that you have to sit in your chair at 10 o'clock and watch the news anymore. It's coming to you from a variety of different times and places and sources.
That's right. People are actually consuming more video than they've ever consumed before. It's just that there are so many options. That's one of the things that's a challenge for us now. So it's not that viewers are watching any less. They're watching more, but there are so many options that they have. So we're constantly working. How do we make sure we're in their top five options to make sure they can see or hear what we've got?
And then the presence, Craig, that you talk about, the presence of having a trusted source and people developing this relationship that they have with, the news anchors and so forth, and even with the programming that you have, it's just there's a relationship there, and they're going to want to go back to that relationship and be with people they like. It's kind of like Cheers. You want to go to a place where everybody knows your name and you feel comfortable, and your stations provide that for people, that ability to feel community.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I do know as we evolve in this industry is that the 80-inch television will still be on the wall.
Right.
No matter what screen we're watching, the 80-inch television will be there. What's inside the 80-inch television, we have to still kind of figure out.
Right.
What will we be watching and how we will be watching it? But the relationship through that television and the interactions outside of that television is the critical part of building that relationship of trust, you know, that they can understand that when something happens, they can turn to Dan. They can turn to Pat Paris to get the information they need at that moment.
Sixto and I have an 80-inch television in our houses, and we turn to Antenna TV and Me TV and watch Andy Griffith and Gilligan's Island and all of those from the 60s and 70s. But we're also watching Ion and watching Caitlin Clark, and we're watching Dan on the news and so forth. So we're engaging in that as well. Fascinating discussion. We'll finish up in the last segment talking about how you stay competitive and what the road forward is for local general managers of and vice presidents of local television stations and what the future holds for you guys and your companies as you move forward. We're with Rob Baino from KOLD and Craig White from KGUN TV. Sixto Molina and I are sitting in for Grant Kruger. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back in just a minute and wrap up with the future of television and local TV. This is The Morning Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. And Brendan, bet you've heard this before, but you're really good at your craft.
I've heard something similar.
Yeah,
yes.
That's my dad joke for the day. But thank you for your help today. You did a good job. Appreciate your working the board for us. I'm with Sixto Molina, who is my co-host this morning, helping us talk about local television. Our guests are been a fascinating 2 hours talking with Treg White, the general manager of KGUN TV, and Rob Baino, general manager of KOLD TV. So we'll finish up with this question. Where do you see local television 5 to 10 years from now? So, Rob, let's start with you. How do you see the future of TV, your job, and what you guys are working on, and how will the future be in Tucson? And say, if you came back to The Morning Voice in 5 years, what would we be seeing?
Well, I think one of the big things is everyone's going to be using next-gen television. This is ATSC 3.0. So all of us have, or most of us in the market, have made this commitment. And our friends at Telemundo have taken their traditional 1.0 signal down so that they can put this 3.0 signal up and test it. And all of us are now carrying some of Telemundo's signals to share in this. What you're going to see is when you are watching television, you will be able to, with your remote, type in, hey, what kind of car is that that's in this car chase scene that I'm watching? And then you'll be able to go to that website, shop that car, and buy that car while you are live in a show. In a commercial, you could go ahead and hit pause and point to a certain area on the screen, and it'll tell you what that product or certain product is, where you can go get it. It's going to be highly interactive. It's also much better quality video, much better quality audio. So for anybody that has one of those great sound systems in their house, you're definitely going to want one of those. So it's going to be much more interactive than it's been in the past. It won't be the passive experience where you're sitting on the couch watching it for 30 minutes at a time.
Right. How do you see the future in, say, 5 years or so, Craig, affecting maybe the local news? Is local news going to stay like it is? Or what do you see in your crystal ball?
I think it doesn't stay how it is today. I think it's, in some ways, when you think about 3.0, you think of almost like interactive news storytelling, where it's pick your adventure, but pick how the story ends.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm wanting to understand more information about who's talking, you know, just more transparency, can I go click a button and all of a sudden find the bio of that person online? And then click and find other stories or information of that person that's related to that story. And so I think that there's an opportunity for interactive news stories in the future, but it all hinges on like everyone kind of just developing 3.0 a little bit better.
And that's an evolution, Sixto. When we were kids, as we were talking earlier, back in the early days of television, we would sit back and watch TV and it would deliver the information to us. And so we'd watch cartoons or shows or so forth. And we were entertained by that.
And before color TV, we had color TV the way we did it. We'd go to the local convenience market and buy a screen that had colors on it. You'd paste it on the face of the TV.
And so it would have like a rainbow effect.
Exactly.
And then the black and white would turn into color before there was color. But we sat back and watched TV and it was aimed at us and we kind of absorbed that. What you guys are talking about is 3.0 is interacting with the audience and having them be part of the content.
That's right.
And that's different.
It's completely different. So, we have to, when somebody watches a television show, they're in a 30-minute show. You're going to have 22 minutes of content. You're going to have 7 to 8 minutes of commercials. And all these commercials are back-to-back in pods. And so if your commercial ran in the first break, by the time the show ends, do you remember what those commercials are? So, and that's what we have to count on right now. So
right.
That's why you need a certain number of spots to be seen, to be remembered. But once we go interactive, you can go ahead and start doing your shopping right there. There's no having to remember what you saw
right.
30 minutes earlier.
Right, which changes the dynamic for the advertiser,
right?
And it becomes more real time for them, and they can actually maybe even see a spike, right? When something comes up, they can actually see in real time what's happening, and that's a change too. The news product itself, though, do you still see the main news and weather and sports dominating the news in 5 years? And are we going to be seeing the news product kind of like we see it now with Pat and your team?
I think those three components will still be around. It's just, they'll be a little bit different. They'll
right.
be showcased differently, but we'll still know about sports. We'll still hear about weather, and we'll still hear about the news of the day.
Because one of the dangers that, an old guy like me, one of the dangers of having appointment TV, or not appointment TV, but where you jukebox TV, I guess I call it, where you can develop your own path and so forth, and then it splinters our community even more. And that goes against what you were just talking about a moment ago about how television and local news brings the community together. And so this is a totally radical thought about how people can kind of craft their own individual experience when the collective experience is as important as that individual experience as well.
That's right. Everything is going more and more on demand. And when people want to find something, even if we'll take the number one sport that's viewed here in the U.S., NFL football,
right.
from year to year, you don't know what channel Thursday Night Football is going to be on, or right. Monday Night Football. And it, do you have to have a subscription, or is it only a satellite service? And do I have to pay for one game, or can I pay for one game, or do I have to pay for a whole season based off of what Apple TV has or Amazon TV? So everything is becoming more and more on demand. And I see that happening even on the local level to a lesser extent.
Yeah. Interesting. We'll have to stay tuned, as they say. Stay tuned to see what local TV has. Guys, it's been a fantastic discussion with you. I knew this would be exciting. I want to thank you, Treg White, Vice President and General Manager of Channel 9. Rob Baino, the Vice President and General Manager of Channel 13, KOLD. Sixto Molina, thank you for sitting in with me again. And always a pleasure to have you with me.
Thank you.
We're two old guys looking at black and white TV with little rainbow screens on them. Come on, you're dating me a little bit. Good to have Bill Ackerley here. Hey, if you can join us, we've got an eat and greet coming up on the 24th at 5:30 at the Doubletree at the Javelina Restaurant. We'd love to have you stop by and see Lydia and Ted and Tom and Grant and me and Matt and Brennan and Sixto and Bill and the whole team will be there, and we hope you'll enjoy that. Tomorrow we have Tom Moulton broadcasting live from the Arizona Governor's Office of Tourism conference up in Phoenix, and I'll be back on Friday with success stories and wonder. And you're listening to KVOI 10:30 a.m. and this is The Morning Voice. Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you.